The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone, to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Real treat on hand today. Jim Sherman is joining me, former faculty member at Indiana University, former city council member as well. And it was great that I was introduced to Jim through a client, a mutual friend, who went to a workshop that he presented the idea of retirement, but not on so much on the financial side, but more on the emotional and mental side. And I know we've had Jerry Sedler, the author of Don't Retire, Rewire, on the show, and to hear that we had this expertise and insight right here in our own hometown, I need to tap into that university community more often, because so many great minds out there. And the person that introduced me to Jim and this topic said, little man, big brain. So I'm looking forward to having Jim on in just a few minutes. Before I get to that, I'm actually pre-recording this show. I'll be out in Kansas City the week that you're listening to this program. So I'm not going to do a lot of news of the week, because I like for that to be topical. But I will say this, that I am, and let's see, when's that date coming up? It's actually on the date. I'm going to double-check this with my phone. Okay, yes. So October, I just want to make sure that I would announce this and it wouldn't happen before the show aired next week. But I am doing my book signing at Morgan Stern Books, along with my good friend and attorney Sam Ardery, who wrote his book, Positively Conflicted. Fantastic book. I was describing this to someone the other day that I was encouraging to read it. And it's like, you know, we think of conflict as negative, but it doesn't have to be that way. It can sometimes turn out to be a very positive thing. And his book, Positively Conflicted, is being used now by many people in his field who are mediators and others that just want to kind of get through something they're conflicted with. So I'm looking forward to sharing the stage with my friend Sam at Morgan Stern Books again on October 26th at 5:30. We had a meeting with the Morgan Stern folks, and it's so awesome that we have a bookstore back in Bloomington, and we want it to stay that way. So please patronize them and buy our books through their website. You can get my book, 2025, The Final Drive, Taxes, Smashing Them, What You Need to Know to Win, and Sam's book as well, Positively Conflicted. My book takes you an hour and 45 minutes to read. His will take you 2 or 3 hours to read, but both hopefully are well worth the time. All right, let's go ahead and give a shout out to the sponsors of News of the Week, even though we're not going to do a lengthy one. Kenny Bland Auctions, they are your full service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. I haven't seen Dirk for a bit. Visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com. And Like Law Group, I need to get my appointment set, Lance, with you guys to update my things as well. But give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance Like at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And finally, I talked to my friend Tim at Unrivaled Electric just last night. They are super busy, but welcoming new customers as well. They are your full-service electrical contractor. They specialize in generators and solar arrays, which you're seeing popping up all over the place. Veteran-owned. They want to be your electrician like they are mine. Call them at 812-361-3604. Find them on Facebook, Google them, whatever you want to do. Or do what two other people have done. Call my office and say, hey, I heard about that electrician on David's show. I need his contact information. I want some solar panels or a generator put in my house. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the psychology, behavioral economics, we're going to have Jim Sherman on to talk about the mental process of retiring. And we'll get off into some tangents, I'm sure, and talk about all kinds of fun things. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, we've talked about this a lot in meetings with clients. You know, they're either forcefully told to leave because it's time for them to get riffed and they didn't retire when they thought they were going to retire. Discontinuous change, we call that. Or you're like, you know what, I don't know if I'm ready for retirement because I don't know what I'm going to do. Will my wife be able to handle me at home all the time? You know, I always encourage people to really think about, like Jerry Sedler says, why do you work beyond the paycheck? Figure out where you get those attaboys and replace that in retirement. But here locally, Jim Sherman, I didn't realize that we had someone that had this knowledge right in our backyard and we didn't have to go all the way to Baltimore to find it. But Jim, thank you for being part of the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, and Jenny Stevens, we'll give her a shout out. She's our mutual friend. She was the one that was so impressed with the presentation you gave on the psychology of retirement. And Jim, I mean, I've been doing this for 28 years. I help people retire every day. More of our focus is on the financial side, as you can well imagine. But as I've aged, I understand the psychology of it as well and can help people sort of bridge that little hurdle, you know, help them figure out why they work beyond the paycheck, what really drives them, where do they get those attaboys. I'll give you a quick story about my high school football coach. So I had an opportunity to see Ralph Haynes. He was when I was a senior at Edgewood, he was our high school football coach. We just recently inducted Robert Boltinghouse, an alumnus from Edgewood, into the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, and Ralph drives all the way over from Ohio to be at my table to see Robert be inducted. Well, we're talking, and of course, he'd been coaching and teaching his entire life. He's now retired, but he works at Lowe's. And I'm like, man, why do you work at Lowe's? I love working at Lowe's. I love seeing the people. Yeah, I make a little bit of money. That's not really the purpose. It gives me a little bit of purpose. My question to you would be the psychology of retirement. My dad's 74, still working. He loves it. I always say to Dad, can you travel when you want to travel, relax when you want to relax, and serve when you want to serve? What's the answer? Yes. Then why would you ever retire? And that's his mindset. But there's a lot of obstacles that keep people from retiring, and a lot of it is, I know, their identity.
Yeah, thanks, David. Let me say, it's not often that I'm on a meeting or a show like this with someone who talks as quickly as I do. So this is going to be...
I've been working that, Jim.
Yeah, this is going to be a challenge to keep up with you. So, yeah, and I think today we'll talk about some psychology, some emotion, and also a little bit about financial issues, because financial issues, as you know and tell people, it's one of the big obstacles that keep people from retiring. Not enough retirement funds to live on. A lot of people are afraid of outliving what retirement funds they have. So financial issues are, for many people, first and foremost. Let me also say at this point, if there are folks out there who are nearing retirement age or thinking about retirement, I want you to think about some of these obstacles that I'm pointing out that keep people from retiring, as well as some of the motivations that exist that drive people to want to retire, and see which ones apply to you, because then you'll know what you need to focus on when you make your decision finally about retiring. So financial issues are clearly one obstacle to retiring. Also, as David talked about his dad, a lot of people really enjoy their work and there's no reason to retire. They like what they're doing, they have a good life, they can travel as they want to and enjoy their grandkids as they want to, and, you know, it's all fine with them. Then there are some psychological issues that come up. Many people are afraid that they're going to be bored, they're going to be unhappy, they're going to wither away without a job, and that's a real concern. I usually, when people ask me about retirement, I ask them whether they have any plans, whether they've thought about it. I think for most people, you don't want to just retire and hope something will come along that'll fill the time. So you need to think about it, especially if you have concerns about being unhappy and bored. It's also true that retiring involves a lot of painful and unhappy tasks. If you're if you're lucky enough to be employed where you get health care and you're over 65, guess what? You're going to have to enroll in Medicare. You're going to have to enroll in a supplement. You're going to have to get prescription taken care of. You're going to deal with dental. You're going to think about Social Security and when you want it. You're going to think about the funds from which you're going to live. And these are not happy. So, it, you know, like procrastinating with lots of things that are painful, retirement is and can be a another example when people procrastinate. One of the big things, and I think David alluded to it, was that there are a lot of psychological adjustments that people need to make when they retire. For people who've done their work, who've done their job, who've had their career for a long time, you really lose your career identity. You know, mm-hmm. I retired after 50 years as a faculty member at Indiana University, and that was my identity. And suddenly, that ain't what I do. I'm retired. I'm emeritus. That's my identity. And that creates some need for thinking and psychological adjustment. For me, as well as I'm sure for many people out there, when you retire, when you're working, most of your or many of your good friends are your support network. I mean, my best friends were in the department with me. You'd see them every day. You'd have lunch with them. You'd work out in the gym with them. And suddenly, you know, you're not there every day. So that's a big social support, and social networks are a big thing to think about and an obstacle that keeps people from retiring.
What do you think about the question of why do you work beyond the paycheck? And if you can really dig deep. Now, granted, listen, I worked in this field for 28 years. I certainly don't believe, I hope I'm not identifying myself as the David Hayes, the financial guy. I hope that I'm identifying myself as a father, a husband, a son, a football coach, a financial advisor, or just someone that's out there, and I don't feel like that I'm there. But I have worked hard to dig to my why. And it took a lot of years and a lot of soul searching and coaching, personal coaching with other people. Some people could call it counseling. I wouldn't call it counseling. I like coaching term better. Business coaching, to dig down there. But Jim, I think for a lot of people, like you said, they don't know what their why is. They don't know why they are here, why they exist. And I really believe that if you can get there or close, and you're always working on it, you can replace those things that you just mentioned that you enjoyed so much in your workplace outside of retirement.
Yeah, and that's important. The whys are important, and there are two kinds of whys. There are the positive whys, like your dad. Mm-hmm. He loves what he does.
Yeah.
He has friends, perhaps, at his work. He gets a lot of support at his work. Those are positive whys, and those are good whys. And then there are the negative whys, such as, oh, I don't want to get into Medicare and signing up, and it sounds like a hassle. I'm afraid that I'll wither away, so I might as well stay at my job. What am I going to do with my time? And those are kind of negative whys. They mm-hmm. kind of keep you working because you're afraid of the negative. So positive motivations are always better to follow than negative reasons. And so I would ask people that question, why? And if you've got positive reasons, then staying is probably a good choice.
Yeah.
If they're negative reasons, you ought to think about ways you could overcome them.
Yeah.
And replace the positives you have now with other positives.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to Jim about that discontinuous change. When someone is, you know, all of a sudden, hey, you're 62, 63, and Jim, you know what? Thank you for your 50 years of service, but it's time for us to separate ways. So when you go out, not on your schedule, but someone else's, that's an entirely different set of circumstances. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Jim Sherman. This is Your Money with David Hayes. A little Mellencamp to bring us back on this Thursday night or Saturday morning, whichever is your choice. iTunes, Google Play. Of course, always on WGCLradio.com. Jim Sherman is my guest right here in Bloomington. 50-year faculty member, Indiana University, former city council member, and also someone who knows a lot about psychology. And, of course, being a financial show and focusing a lot on retirement issues, we found out that Jim knew something, and we are so happy he is with us and sharing his knowledge on some of the psychology of retirement. I mentioned when you're forced out, you know, they come and pat you on the back and say, hey, thanks for all your years of service, which I had to deal a lot with that this past year with some early outs of, with some local companies when people just felt like unappreciated, sort of cast aside. You know, they certainly didn't and were not ready to leave that job for many reasons, financial reasons, identity reasons, all those reasons. But before we get to that, Jim, you know, let's go back to my dad. My dad's 74. He'll retire eventually. I mean, who knows? There's always a day where the rooster comes to roost. Who knows when that will be? But what are some of the motivators that really will push someone to say, you know what? Yep, I'm going to retire. Some people will say to me, who I thought would never retire, they'll say, you know what, I'm going to retire. When? December. Okay. I said, why? He goes, I'm just ready. It's time. And I'm like, they can't quite put their finger on it, but it's just time. And maybe that was your case 50 years in. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. We were on a plane trip back from Africa. And
sounds boring.
And kind of in the middle of the trip, I was lying back in my seat and said, I think it's time. And that was it. So, you know, it wasn't a long process. So for some people, it just kind of comes. You know when it's there.
They know when the stress, the responsibility, accountability, the people you work with, something will just say, you know what, enough's enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
And things change. I mean, you were through several presidents, probably. John Ryan might have been the president when you were there.
Well before John Ryan.
I'm trying to think.
He was Elvis star, and you know.
You were around when Elvis did his performance at Assembly Hall.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've been around a while.
So a lot of things change. Department heads change. Presidents change. You know, a lot of stuff changes. And eventually you're just like, you know what, I don't want that anymore. I'm done with change. I'm ready to check out.
Yeah, and when the changes are good, it keeps you there.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of kinds of changes. People get burned out. Mm-hmm. They don't enjoy their work as much anymore. You know, for me, teaching the same course year after year after year, it's hard to keep it fresh. It's hard to keep excited about it. And you just say, you know, enough is enough for that. For some people, if you're in fields like information technology, wow, the field can pass you by really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're away from it a little while and you lose it. And suddenly, you know, you're trying to catch up, and it's hard when you're in your 60s and your 70s to try to retrain yourself. Of course, a lot of people, as they get older, they have health issues, psychological issues, family obligations. And they just can't stay at their job any longer, and that's not a good situation, but it's true for a lot of people. And on the positive side, there are a lot of people who retire because they just really prefer to do other things. They want to travel, they want to write the novel they've never had a chance to write. I had two colleagues, both in unconnected ways, always did woodworking as a hobby. And they decided, wouldn't it be great to do it full time and really make some neat stuff? And they've both been very successful at making furniture, and they love it.
Huh.
So one more thing that motivates people to retire these days is COVID. I mean, I don't think we've ever had as many people deciding to retire as we do in the last couple of years.
Well, and of course, we're feeling that in the workforce pinch right now as well. Yeah. I'll give you a quick example. So we handle all of the retirement education for Monroe County Schools, and we have for about the last decade. Prior to spring break 2020, there were only 16 people that were planned to retire in the entire school system, over 2,300 people, custodians, bus drivers, teachers, whatever. By the time June of 2020 came around, we were nearing 50. Just for that little stint of having all of the shutdown restrictions going on. Then more people over the summertime, the guys told me, more and more like, I've got to get out of here. Not a single person in all the Zoom meetings they've had this year, an educator, has said, man, I love what I do. They're all miserable, the ones they've talked to. So when they talk to them, they're thinking, yes, I've got to retire. So I 100% get it that COVID
drove a lot of people out of their jobs. It also gave some employers opportunities to get rid of some people that they probably have wanted to get rid of, some higher earning executives. I was part of that as well. I mean, I'm not personally part of that. I thankfully own my own company, so I'd be the only one riffing myself if that happened. But yeah, Jim, I mean, there is times where it isn't necessarily, yes, it was your choice that this drove me out. But what about those people that, like I mentioned, that have been with someone for 40 years, dedicated their souls, their lives, and all of a sudden they get the pat on the back, say, man, thank you for all that time, but here's your pink slip.
Yeah,
that's tough.
You know, it is tough, and maybe people can learn a lesson from that. You know, I never wanted, when I retired, I refused to have a little party and give me a little present. And, you know, I always said to people, if you appreciate what someone does, tell them while they're doing it.
Yeah.
Don't wait till they retire to say, oh, thank you for all your service.
It's like a great eulogy, but you never told them how, like, you felt about them while they were around.
Exactly. So I know when I walked around campus, you know, to me this is the most beautiful campus I've ever been to, all things considered. And whenever I would walk by someone who did campus grounds, I would thank them. Mm. I would tell them I appreciated it. I mean, I hope they wouldn't have to wait till they retired and, you know, they were given a little pin and a thank you. So if you appreciate someone, do it before they retire, please.
I traveled to Vail this summer in July, and I knew that they warned us before we came, be patient. We have staffing shortages. They had emergency visas issued for people. It's like a cruise ship. People from all over the world were there, Serbia, Yugoslavia, everywhere, to work in these resorts. And I would thank them. I'd say, thank you for being here. I really appreciate that. The officials, the referees of our youth football league, those guys are there every Sunday. They were there last night. And I just, guys, thank you for being here. I appreciate you so much taking the time. They make a few bucks, but, you know, they're obviously doing it for other reasons. But yeah, I'm with you, Jim. I always look for chances to thank people along the way, and you're right. And I have to work on that with my own employees. I have people that I could not live without, in my opinion. But do I, you know, daily? No. Weekly? Probably not. You know, but occasionally say, man, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you. And people a lot of times, that's a bigger motivator than more money on the paycheck.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All I want is, you know, just to have a student come up and say, I enjoyed your course. Thank you.
Wouldn't that be simple?
When I was an undergraduate, it was a tradition, but you could tell from the how loud it was that at the end of the last lecture of the semester, the students would clap.
Yeah.
And the louder it was, the more appreciation you felt. But I thought that was a great tradition.
Well, I had a lot of time this year to help coach some of these people who were losing their jobs, didn't necessarily want to have their jobs and their titles removed. And it is difficult when you're talking with someone in their, you know, early 60s, mid-60s who did not want to change or being forced to change, to tell them, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. And it normally can work out, but, you know, I think, like, you rolled your eyes because you're right. I mean, and that's – I didn't say that to them because I'm like, I don't want to get that reaction, but – you know, you've got to figure it out. You know, when this happens, you just don't die in the doldrums of your misery, you know, but make the best of it. You know, and I don't know how else to put it with people, but just make the best of it.
That's interesting because I think it's one of the understudied concepts in psychology, the idea of resilience, that when you get riffed when you're old, you need to be resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've figured out what makes people resilient or what makes them non-resilient.
Well, I think when you're put to the mat, you're up against the wall, you find resiliency.
Some do, and some find it hard.
Don't. Yeah, right. Yeah. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I'm interested to hear Jim's opinion on the different biases that we have as people and how psychology and behavioral economics help us to think about retirement issues. It's pretty interesting stuff, and we'll get Jim's take on that. When we come back, this is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Jim Sherman, former faculty member at Indiana University, in the area of psychology is joining me, and he was brought to my attention as someone that knew something about helping people retire from a psychological standpoint. And that is super, super important. And when I sent you my little outline for the show, I was just trying to impress you by throwing all these different biases out there, like narrow framing, mental accounting, anchoring, optimism, media response, regret, hurting, all of those. I was really just trying to impress you and made you think that I knew a lot more about psychology than I really do. But the fact is, we all have biases.
We do.
You know, if we looked at Yogi's across the street, and let's say it was completely packed, and then I look at the restaurant over here on the other corner, which is Death's Corner, it has been for restaurants, and you see this one packed, this one empty, you immediately think, wow, that one must be the better restaurant to go without ever trying that restaurant. You know, those are some of the biases you have to recognize and know that if you're being held back by those biases, open your mind a little bit, recognize it, and then you can deal with it. That's the best advice I have for someone who's totally uneducated, just boots on the ground kind of a guy like myself.
It's good advice. I'll talk about three kinds of biases that are all related in a certain way, and maybe you can recognize these in yourself or others. The first one is called status quo bias. It's basically inertia.
Yeah.
People stay where they are.
Contentment.
Yeah. I mean, it's harder to move than to stay where you are. So for those of you who play poker, have you ever been in a poker hand where you've got a mediocre hand and someone opens and you see them and then they raise a little bit and you say, oh, I guess I can stay for that. And then they raise a little more and you say, well, I'm in this much, I might as well stay more.
Sounds like any time I played poker.
Sometimes you need to know when to get out, Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You know? And the same with holding stocks. I mean, we've all been invested in things that worked out and things that didn't. And if you've got a stock that's kind of going down and going down and going down, you say, well, I don't want to sell now because then it'll be a sure loss. Well, you know, you've got to think about where are you now and what's the best thing that you can do from this point on. And if it's holding that stock, fine. But if it's not, do it. Suffer the loss and move on. So, you know, status quo bias is just a basic way of thinking. Probably some of it's hardwired in, but it is a bias, and we have to learn from it. The second related bias is called loss aversion. And it's a big reason for status quo bias. We kind of judge our gains and losses from where we are now. You know, if I do this, what am I going to gain? What am I going to lose? Losses weigh much more heavily than gains.
Big time.
Big time. So if I, you know, there's two people in the room with me, if I had a pen and a mug and asked them to choose which they wanted, they're equally good and they would probably have a 50-50 chance of choosing them. But if I gave one of them a pen and one of them a mug and now you own it, and I say, you can trade your pen for a mug or you can trade your mug for a pen, no one wants to trade. Once it's yours, I stay with it because I suffer the loss. Well, I can think of the good things I could do with a pen or a mug. So, you know, buying and selling prices. You know, you own something and someone asks you, how much would you sell it for? And you give them an amount. And they say, well, how much would you buy it for if it's something that you'd want more than one of for sure? The buying price is way lower than the selling price. Oh, I'd only give $10 for that, but I want $20 to sell it.
That's like if you're in business with someone, and Jim, you're in business with myself, and I'm like, hey, I want to buy you out, and what are you going to pay? Well, I'll give you $100,000, and you turn around and go like, all right, I'll buy you for $100.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no way.
You're right.
I'm
right.
Not selling for $100.
Right?
It's the same kind of thing.
So we got to get over the fact that we weigh losses so much more heavily than gains.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's protective because losses can hurt.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it does lead to a bias. And the third one is regret, especially anticipating regret. When you do things and it turns out badly, you feel a lot of regret. You know you'll feel a lot of regret if you do them. When you stay with what you've been doing and it turns out badly, it doesn't hurt as much.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking of selling your stock and buying a new one, and you decide to stay with the one that you have, and it turns out you would have been better off changing, you feel some regret, but not much. But if you went ahead and sold what you had and bought the new one, and it turned out you would have been much better off staying where you were, you feel a lot more regret. So kind of staying where you are kind of keeps you from feeling badly about bad outcomes.
There's a ton of those in my world, right? Because I've been doing this 28 years, and I remember, and this is not a recommendation to buy, sell, own, or anything, this particular company, but Amazon, great example. In 1994, 95, around that year, maybe 98, I don't remember, we owned some Amazon. And, you know, it was just a bookstore, you know, and it kind of like, they seem to be a little clunky. We're just going to get rid of it. Made a little bit of money, but not a lot. Mentioning regret bias, I calculated once, and I'd never do it again, that if I would have just held on to those shares, I would have had somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 million. Based on today's price. Yeah. Now, do I regret selling it? Sure. Do I dwell on it? Absolutely not. But that's because I've recognized the biases, and most people can. As they call it, treating errors of commission more seriously than errors of omission, regret bias.
See, so you know that.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff.
Good stuff.
I think, like you said.
Let me, before we go on, let me make a point about retirement and these biases.
Yeah, for sure.
Each one of these biases will keep you at your job rather than retiring. So as I think about it, I think the errors that people are likely to make are staying at the job longer than maybe they ought to rather than retiring too early because of status quo bias and loss aversion and anticipated regret.
Well, Bob Nice said that, right? When he got fired from IU, he's like, I should have left 3 years ago. I mean, it's what he said, you know? And I think that's the case with a lot of people. They end up ending on worse terms than they could have went out on their own a few years before had they not had these biases holding them back.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's awesome stuff. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to kind of finally pull it all together. Solutions to the retirement dilemma, just kind of some first steps to take to get you on your path to being psychologically ready to make that move into retirement with Jim Sherman. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. If you miss any of the show, you can catch it on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., always on WGCLradio.com, iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much Pandora, anywhere you want to grab your podcast. Jim Sherman's been my guest, 50-year faculty member at Indiana University in the psychology department. And Jim, first of all, I want to say I've enjoyed the heck out of our conversation today. I mean, this has been great. I've really, really enjoyed it. And I think for people that have listened, they're starting to like maybe think about some of the things you've talked about. Solutions to that retirement dilemma, that first step. If someone's like, okay, yeah, I'm thinking I do want to retire, what would you encourage people to do first? Like, what's the first step in making that move into retirement?
Yeah, it's hard to generalize, David, because some people are like me. I'm an all or none guy. You know, I knew when I was going to cut the cord, I was going to cut the cord. You know, and that was fine with me. That's what I am. If I wanted to keep doing it, I'd keep doing it. For other people, they need a more gradual road to retirement. If they're lucky enough to have the possibility of doing it part-time, that's great. If they're self-employed, you know, my wife was a therapist. She could determine how many clients she wanted to see. She wanted to cut back and work only 2 or 3 days a week. She had that luxury. A lot of people don't. So if you do have that luxury, it's a good solution for some people. It's not necessary for other people. And, of course, David, you talk about on your shows, I'm sure, and you take care of the issues of financial issues when you retire, but you know, if financial issues are a concern in your retirement, you got to talk to someone. But my best advice would be start young. I prefer to talk to young people.
No young people listen to this show, unfortunately. Our demographics are 50 plus.
I mean, man, you know, someone who's age 28 and just comes to a pretty reasonably paying job, if they are able to start their retirement.
Start it, right? Cell phones, baby.
Well,
cell phones.
Sorry.
Let me say this about that. Be that guy. Be that gal at your employer that grabs that young person when they come in and says, hey, you have to do this. My Aunt Jane, my grandma's twin sister, was head of HR at RCA. And I still enjoy visiting with people. It happened this week that tell me they worked at RCA back in the 70s and early 80s. And I asked them, do you know Jane Chestnut? Oh, yeah, I remember Jane in HR. And how many people have told me, so many people have told me, I mentioned this at her funeral when I spoke, that many people come up to me and say, if it weren't for your Aunt Jane, I would not have this. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, people listening might not be 28 years old, but you know someone who's 28, and take that as your moral responsibility.
Absolutely.
To help those people get off to a great start.
And then I talked a little about those painful tasks like enrolling in Medicare mm-hmm. and thinking about Social Security. You know, I've been in those now for about 3 years, and I can tell you that unlike a lot of bureaucracies,
it's
they're
not that
really
bad.
Helpful.
Yeah, not that
they
bad.
Really know what they're doing, and they're available, and you talk to a human. And I've not had a problem with either one. So, yes, it takes some navigating, but you'll figure it out with them, and they'll be helpful. So don't worry so much about it. You can do it.
They don't know how to retire. That happens a lot with the school system. Teachers will say, I just don't even know what to do. Like, how do I retire? So thankfully, you know, our, I guess, way of doing things is we'll help you. You know, we'll take care of it. We can help you sign up for Medicare, help you sign up for Social Security, do an analysis to see when the best time to take it. You know, do a forecast of what this is going to look like for you, not just now in the next 10 years, but maybe potentially a 30 to 35 year retirement. So, yeah, I mean, thankfully people have these issues, Jim, because that gives me a job, which I'm grateful for. Plus, I love doing it every single day.
Yep.
Jim, thanks so much for being part of the program. We have one more break, and then we're going to wrap up the big show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you again to Jim Sherman for being part of today's program. I enjoyed the heck out of it. In fact, I'm not going to let you off the hook because I've been doing this for 20 years, and I think this is an important topic that needs to be talked about. So I'm going to have you back, Jim, and it sounds like that you're available. So keep exercising. Keep doing whatever you're doing. You look great, and we're going to have you back on again sometime to share all this great information. Don't forget, we have the book signing coming up on October 26th, 5:30. Over at Morgan Stern Books. There's going to be an author discussion between myself and Sam Ardery on our particular topics. We're going to discuss our why, like why this is so important to us individually with our topics. Then we will read probably a passage or two and then do some book signing, then have a lot of fun and get you out the door and support a local bookstore, which is Morgan Stern Books. Very excited about this. We had a great call yesterday to sort of tee up the program that we're going to put on. And again, it's going to be educational. It's going to be fun, and hopefully you leave with a couple books in your hand that are pretty good to read. Again, you guys know this. I worked hard on mine all the way through, really after the 2017 tax cuts that went into effect. I started working on the book and was really wrapped up the end of 19. Got it to the publisher, headed off to spring break, came back. The world was shutting down. Stimulus after stimulus, bill after bill was being passed. And I tapped the brakes and said, hey, not only am I not ready for this book to be released because of what's happening, but with more stimulus and more debt coming, it makes the narrative of higher taxes down the road even better. So I waited until literally the presidential election. That wasn't that important to me as far as waiting until that time happened, but I really waited this thing out for a bit and then edited my book, got it out there, and finally, after many steps through compliance and editing and whatever, it made itself out on, I believe, the late May. And, of course, you all helped so much. when we launched the book, and pushed it to number four on that daily Amazon's daily bestseller list that day. We appreciate that. It started off at 287,000. That was where we started the day before in self-help and finance. By 9 o'clock in the morning, with the push we made, we were up to 3,600. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we were number four on that daily bestseller list. And I was actually in the Gulf of Mexico fishing for red snapper when I got the news. And of course, in my all-or-nothing way, Jim, I was like, how do we get to number one? I've got greedy. That's another thing, right? Greed, fear, and greed. There's another one right there that we can talk about all day long. So anyway, we're grateful for that. So if you have time, stop by and see us on October 26th. You'll be hearing more and more about this, Facebook ads, videos, all kinds of stuff as we promote this Morgan Stern book, author discussion, and signing. So I hope everyone has a great week, and I'll talk to you again next Thursday. This is Your Money with David Day. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.